To give a very brief background on dialysis in the U.S., there are greater than 6,500 outpatient dialysis facilities treating greater than 400,000 patients relying on hemodialysis. Hemodialysis patients have a higher risk of infection due to frequent use of central catheters or insertion of needles to access their bloodstreams frequently, weakened immune systems, and frequent hospital stays and surgeries. And for those of you who have never stepped foot in a dialysis facility, this is a picture of a typical outpatient facility. And what I want you to notice is all of the equipment and how tight everything is in this facility. And imagine what it looks like when you get it full of patients and staff. So for the Infection Control Assessment and Response Program, or ICAR, a standardized assessment tool was provided for the hemodialysis outpatient setting that was in a formatted fillable Word document and reported quarterly to CDC. An agenda for the facility visits was a minimum of a half day to share the ICAR tool in advance of the visit, explain the purpose of the visit was to focus on quality improvement, and that it was collaborative, not regulatory. Especially in the dialysis world, they're only used to being visited by surveyors. Direct observation of clinical practice was required, and we wanted you to allot time at the conclusion to summarize identified gaps and begin formulating a plan for that mitigation. This is a snapshot of the front page of our tool, not meant to read this by any means, but to notice that there are four sections of our tool, and that's how I'm going to break apart the presentation. Data presented is going to be from October 2015 through October 2016. So you can see we had 20 jurisdictions submitted 168 assessments. We had a nice distribution across the United States and included two large local health departments and a territory. I'm going to start with section one, the facility demographics section, and the rationale for assessment question. And you'll notice that 85% of the answers were in the other specify field, and that there's a free text field for that. So when we looked at that, what we found was you didn't really like our answer choices. So we needed more. But the majority of those say just ICAR, which doesn't really tell us much about why you actually stepped foot in that facility. So hopefully, moving forward, we can look at that a little more closely. And then a few states have a hybrid model where they have algorithms. Does the facility belong to a dialysis chain? What we noticed here is this kind of matches what we see across the country. So roughly 80% of dialysis facilities are owned by a large dialysis organization. So the distribution that we have here closely resembles that, which is good. And then the typical patient census has a pretty even distribution, except to say those largest facilities, so greater than 151 patients, were in the minority. Section two is where the meat of the interview form is. This is where the actual interview section is, and there are 11 domains in this section with roughly 170 questions. For the sake of time, I can't go through all of those. So what we've done is pulled out things that are unique to dialysis or that had responses that we thought were interesting. So I'm going to orient you to this slide a little bit, and then the following slides follow the same pattern. So in the first domain, the infection control program and infrastructure domain, and the first question, what training does that person in charge of infection control at the facility have? You'll notice the gray box. If there was a missing answer, that's where you'll see the number. And then for our questions, we could have more than one correct response and more than one incorrect response. So the correct responses will be in the green box with the strength answers, and the red are those opportunity answers or where a gap could have been identified. And then for the visual learners on the side is the percentages. So in this instance, the person at the facility, 90% of the time did have some training in infection control. And you'll see that 140 of those answers were that other training in infection control, so we wanted to look at that a little closer. And you'll see the majority of that was corporate infection control training, which makes sense that 80% of the facilities were corporate owned. Next question, does the facility have a policy or protocol for implementing contact precautions when warranted? And the facilities are reporting 94% of the time that that is the case. That's not something that CDC routinely recommends, except for special circumstances. What is the distance separating adjacent dialysis treatment stations? You'll see 96% of the time that is less than 6 feet. This was an aspirational answer for us. You'll see from that picture in the beginning that those stations are really close together. But interestingly, 76 of those answers shared a computer charting terminal. So what that means is if you have two dialysis stations, they share a computer charting terminal in between. So there's essentially no distance between those. Domain two, infection control training, competency, and audits. Greater than 97% of the time, facilities are reporting that they're providing job-specific training to healthcare personnel on IP policies and procedures upon hire, and annually, they're assessing and documenting that competency. They're routinely conducting audits of staff infection control practices, they're providing feedback on adherence to clinical staff, and that they're routinely using standardized tools for educating staff or assessing those practices. And we were heartened to see that 55% of the time they're using our CDC tools. Surveillance and disease reporting. So does the facility have a policy that mandates blood culture collection before antimicrobial administration anytime a BSI is suspected? And that was identified a gap 39% of the time. Does the facility conduct routine screening of hemodialysis patients for hep C antibody at the recommended intervals? And that was identified a gap 29% of the time. So you'll see we have some work to do here in dialysis. Environmental cleaning. I didn't include the visuals because you would just see a lot of green. So facilities have written policies and procedures for routine cleaning and disinfecting of environmental surfaces, including clearly defining who those are. They provide job-specific training to responsible personnel on environmental cleaning and disinfecting upon hire and annually, and they routinely audit by monitoring and documenting adherence to cleaning and disinfecting procedures. Injection safety is the last one I'll mention. So does the facility use manufacturer prefilled saline syringes or single-use saline vials? And 87% of the time, that was identified as a gap. A normal practice in dialysis facilities is to draw saline flushes from the line as the patient is receiving their dialysis. Section three is the direct observation of facility practices. There are seven audit tools that were reported. The gaps identified column is the one that we received at CDC, so the yes, no. That's a quantified number of times the jurisdiction identified a gap during an audited observation. These are the audit tools that CDC provides for those audits, and just a reminder that this was required. So these are the direct observations. Oh, it didn't show up. Oh, it shows up on there. No, okay. So the hand tied, the percentages were on here, but you can see the four that had more than 50% non-compliance were hand hygiene, which I think no one is surprised by that. Catheter exit site care, the arteriovenous fistula graft and cannulation, and then the routine disinfection of dialysis stations was reported incorrectly, being done 81% of the time. So some limitations that we saw, assessments and audits can be subjective. The rationale for facility selection is unknown for a large number of those assessments, as I pointed out earlier. Public health staff have limited familiarity with the dialysis setting, and observations represent a snapshot in time with limited personnel. So for the summary, I wanted to point out that the infrastructure for infection prevention in dialysis has some strengths. We see that with their answers to the interview questions, but the greatest weakness is in their actual clinical practice. So with 90% reporting in infection control training for people in charge of infection control, and that they're educating and assessing staff on infection control practices. But as you saw from the actual observations, half of the time they're not doing that. For a more specific example, 98% say they have written environmental disinfection policies and procedures with clearly defined responsibilities. 81% of observations, however, identified a gap in routine disinfection. And 94% say they have policies and procedures for implementing contact precautions when warranted, but 96% have suboptimal patient spacing. So lessons learned from this. There's opportunities for improvement to close the gap between the facility policies and procedures related to infection control activities and their actual infection prevention clinical practices. Things that were encouraging, we found the willingness of facilities to actually participate was good. We thought that was going to be a barrier in the beginning. Basic infrastructure for IP exists at the facility level, and this ICAR program is helping to build relationships between public health, LDOs, and those outpatient facilities, building capacity in public health for dialysis and promoting CDC recommended practices. So I do have breaking news, and this is where procrastinating helped me to upload my slides. And I can't give a lot of detail on this, but CMS released two memos on Friday. regarding specifically outpatient dialysis settings. Put them up here so that you can see that they exist. But that one is for the refilling or filling of saline syringes at the station to stop that practice. And then the other one is about cleaning the patient stations. The point I want to make here is that when you go into these facilities now, they're going to be struggling with this. So you can help them as public health to work through this process and improve their practices. And I want to thank everyone who helped me with this and all the states that completed the hemodialysis ICARS. And we really hope these numbers grow. So thank you very much.